Morning, everyone.
Have you ever heard someone get put down like this? He thinks the whole universe revolves around him. That's a tough one, because I'm pretty much right here in the middle. Each of us is, and I am, at the center of my own world. I look out from these eyes, no others. I hear the sounds that strike my two ears, no others. And so as I observe the universe, so it is. It's not like you observe it, because I don't see that. I see people moving in circles around me, and I am constantly working to improve my situation in the universe that is revolving around me. I make plans. I want all the stars and the planets, my planets, to benefit myself. And I make demands on my satellites. I want attention. I want respect. I want love. And I'm not happy when one of these orbits is not like it's supposed to be. And I pull strings to straighten it out. And I'm not very good at it. So the strings stretch and they get tangled and they break and it's all chaotic. So in the last month or so, I've been paying attention to another group of satellites, the planets. Have you noticed them? It's like a heavenly parade every night. You just go outside tonight if it's clear. The sun sets and you'll see Venus and the evening star very bright in the west, if you know where the west is, and that's, you know, where the sun goes down. Some of us are more directionally impaired than others. But you'll see Venus. It's the evening star. And then you look in an arc back overhead and you'll see Jupiter. It's very bright. And then Saturn. It's pretty bright. And then later on in the evening, if you try again, after Venus sets, Mars will rise in the east. And it's bigger than I've ever seen it before. It's definitely red. And it's really cool to see. And you can see that about 10 o'clock at night. And I know for a fact that those planets do not revolve around me. They revolve around the sun, just like we do. And this nightly procession of planets I've been seeing the last couple of weeks reminds me of another system that's operating across the Atlantic and around the globe from us. There are planets that are revolving around a sun, and those satellites are not pulled by strings, and they're not pulled by gravity. Those satellites see light, and they see love, and they see warmth that's coming from this sun, so they fix their orbits around it. And if you look closely, that sun is not a sun at all. It's actually a moon, because its light and warmth and love are coming from another sun. The sun. The S-O-N. And these satellites are not strung. They're not on a leash. They're not controlled. They're influenced for good. And I want my sphere to be more like the sphere of Reggie Hiller. And we are grateful to be able to hear this morning about Reggie's work in Austria. So, Reggie, come up.
Okay, Tina, can you help me? Here we go. I'll let you carry that. Thank you. Whoops. Okay, I need to set up here because I've got quite a few things. And first of all, I want to introduce one of my foster children, Tina. She came by herself this year because her older sister, Michelle, whom y'all met last time, she has to do an apprenticeship and was only able to take off her Bible camp this past week, and she was excited to be able to do that. But she sends her love and greetings, and she really wished she could be here, and I wish she could be here too. So thank you, Tina. And my sister is here. We wouldn't have been able to make it here without my sister being our chauffeur. And thank you. Hope a lot of y'all know her, Mary Hare. So I'm going to get started here. have so many things I would like to tell you. So many exciting things have been happening. Let me get started with the first picture. So many exciting things have been happening since I was here last. I think you remember that I was telling y'all that we were expecting a big influx of refugees, and they sure did come in by the droves, and it was quite overwhelming. It's still overwhelming in the sense that, in a positive way, that more and more, especially former Muslim faith, are turning to Christ now and have become the greatest example for all of us in the world of letting God's Spirit work in their lives. Their spirit is not one of timidity, it's one of power of love and self-control. They are willing to sacrifice their lives. And I don't know very many people who are willing to do that. And I will start now with some of the pictures and let you get to know them. So this is my buddy, Rodney. He's a kid like any other kid, like the kid around the block. And excuse my English, it's kind of rusty. I'm sounding like a refugee. So, but they... He even speaks English. He speaks Farsi. Farsi is Persian, which the Afghanis and the Iranians speak. And his father is one of our main translators, one of our main teachers for the Farsi-speaking refugees. And he has brought more people to Christ this year than anybody I know for such a short time. We didn't get to know his father. I will talk more about him later and the plight that he's in right now as we progress. But his father used to be a petrol manager, project manager for one of the leading petrol companies in Iran. And his wife is a famous artist who was teaching at the University of Tehran. And the reason why they had to leave Iran was because they became Christians, and they had to leave. They were very wealthy, and they had to leave otherwise they would have been executed. And so they arrived in the refugee camp not far from Vienna, where we met them. And I will tell you that story later on down the line. This picture was taken after a baptism. His father baptized two more a former Muslim faith into Christ that afternoon, and he also wanted to be baptized. But he's 4 years old, so we said, no, wait a little bit. But anyway, he's ready to jump in. But I'll go on now. Okay, and these are some of the Afghani refugees that we've been working with, just a few. Two of them, the ones in the middle, Narjis and Mohammed Reza, they were converted last year. And they have three children. The youngest one is Christina, next to being held by her uncle. And the other couple, the front lady, Nadia, and the one holding Christina, they want to become Christians as well. They would have been baptized some months ago. And they have a little boy, Leonardo. You can see him in the baby carriage. They are not married yet. So my coworker let them know that as soon as they get married, no problem. So they're working on it. It takes a while to get all the paperwork together in Austria, especially being refugees. So this is just a little bit, an inkling of an idea. I mean, we have so many refugees who are willing to turn over their lives to Christ and are spreading the good news to their fellow friends and refugees that they're in contact with. This is one way how we reach out to the refugees. This is out at the refugee camp. We're not allowed to go directly into the camp, but we can have Bible studies outside at a cafe. And we have up to 12 people attending every time we go out there during the week. And Farshad, I'll get you another picture. Rodney's brother, father, sorry. His father, this is a portrait that was made by an Afghani of him before I left. This is Farshad. He translates for us out there. And you will hear more about his plight later, but you will see how important he is to our work, to the Lord's work there. And I want to correct what Steve said, it's not my work, it's the Lord's work there. And we're all in it together, each one of y'all here. Not, I couldn't make it on my own, and my without my coworker and all the help from the refugees who have been converted, we're all in it together. So we have up to 12 studying during the week, sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. And then there's other places all over Austria where some of the refugees have been transferred. They get scattered all over Austria. They don't stay out at the refugee camp forever, except for Farshad. He was there for 11 months and was beginning to wonder if he would ever get to leave. And I told him, God has a plan for you. You're bringing so many people to Christ from out there. And he was their main translator at the hospital and at the doctor's offices for all the refugees, because he speaks English and Farsi fluently. And to show an example of how far the refugees get scattered all over Austria, Fab, next to me, he's only 18. He got transferred all by himself from the refugee camp out at Treiskirchen to Tyrol, which is the most beautiful country, more beautiful than Salzburg, than where The Sound of Music was filmed. Tyrol, up in the mountains. And his story's a very sad one, but it has a happy ending. He was abandoned when he was a baby by his mother, dropped off at an old lady's house. He showed me a picture of her. She didn't look too kind. And he ran away from there when he was 7. So he's on his own from the age 7 until he fled when he was 16 to Austria. And he met us at the refugee camp. We also have worship service out there. We have 3 Farsi churches now, and we could have many more if we had more physical presence. We need more people coming over to help. And so so we met there. He got transferred, and then my coworker and I went to visit him, had more Bible studies with him, and he was baptized in February, and he's our only brother in that area. And he calls, I'm his adopted mother, and my coworker Gerhard is his adopted father. And he was really worried when I traveled over here. He tried to call me, couldn't get a hold of me, and he thought maybe my plane had crashed and that he'd never see me again. But we finally got in touch with each other, and he's happy now. Okay, this is just an example of one Sunday morning where we meet now. In the morning, we have our English service for mainly African refugees. We have a new location since I was here. God was good to us. Last December, we moved into this place. It has a lot of potential. And this was a Sunday morning where we also had some of our Farsi-speaking brethren there, who are mainly more over to the right, and way back, because we had a seminar to keep up with all the Farsi speaking as a former Muslim faith, brethren who are scattered all over Austria. We have them come to Vienna once a month for a seminar over the weekend to teach them the basics of the Bible, because they've only learned the Quran and they're used to studying because of the Quran, and they're diligently searching. This is the New Testament in Farsi. We have Bibles, complete Bibles, which EEM prints for us. And so they're constantly searching the scriptures, wanting to grow. They want to grow. And they want to learn how to start their own house churches to become independent. But they're all babes in Christ. So it's going to be take a while, but they're on the right track. So this is just an idea. The young man to the front here from Africa, Sam, he became a Christian last year. He's one of our preachers now, does a really good job. Mr. G, we call him, his name is Gold, but I call him Mr. G, after Mr. T, to the front with a purple shirt with a white African embroidery. He's one of our song leaders. He does a really good job. And that's just mentioning a few. So we'll go on. This is a picture from the seminar. These are all Farsi-speaking brethren and a few that were some that were interested in becoming Christians. And that weekend, 5 were put their Lord on in baptism, 5 of the young men. And this was the seminar beginning of May, and then we had one beginning of June. There were already 10 more than on this picture. It just keeps growing. July we skipped because of camps and, yeah, me leaving and so on and so forth, coming to the States. But they look just like you and me. Hamid up front, he was converted in Athens, where he first arrived on a ship. His wife was converted at the refugee camp, Farzana, the one with the ponytail, with the dark hair in the second row. She's one of our translators for ladies' Bible classes, for ladies. When we have one-on-one studies or groups of women, she translates for us. This is Farshad. That was the little boy you saw at the beginning with me. This is his father, Farshad. He's a very educated man, speaks English and Farsi fluently, having to learn German now. And he, when Gerhard, my co-worker, had to start traveling every second weekend to help start a church in Farsi over in Salzburg, and also travel on to France to help start a church there, because quite a few of our new converts were transferred to Nice, I believe you say, in English, N-I-C-E, Nizza in German, it's easier to say in German, France, and they want to start a church there. So he's traveling a lot. So he taught the Bible class and also preached, and he did a fantastic job according to the scriptures he wrote down in English for me so I could follow with them. And I could tell, and everybody was taking part in the class. I mean, even 16-year-olds, teenagers, they really, really are get into it and mean business. That's one of our Sunday morning African worship services in English, and then lots of kids in the back, nursery and so on. Then this is another Bible, a scenario of a Bible study in Salzburg. They have beautiful lakes there, and most of the baptisms, all of the baptisms in Salzburg take place in the beautiful lakes, like Mondsee. And the guy to the very left is our main translator in Salzburg for the Farsi-speaking refugees. A lot of them have been transferred there, also from our refugee camp close to Vienna. The guy to the right is an American up front, Steve Lambert. He came from Auburn and brought a couple of folks with him to see what's going on. He was very impressed, too. He'd come here in a heartbeat and give a report if you'd like for him to, from Alabama. And those are just a few that they study with. And you will see a picture later how that group has grown. And it was outdoors under trees because the weather was nice. It was raining that day, so they had to go indoors. Anyway, you can tell how interested they are. And the one sitting, my coworker is in the, on the left side with the glasses on, the plaid shirt. The guy with the red and blue shirt next to him, Mani, also speaks five languages. And he's been helping baptize and teach some of the Farsi speaking. Also, Majid next to him with the high, I don't know how you call it, it looks like Elvis Presley a little. He's an artist and also a Christian, and he also brings a lot of his friends to Christ. And I could go on. Now, Farshad, the one I mentioned who is our main translator and teacher, this is his wife. She's a famous artist in Iran, and that's some of the things she hand-painted with Iranian decor on it. And we also have, we've had three art exhibitions for our Christian artists to help them become known in Austria so they can start, just so they can get a good start and become productive there, because they get bored otherwise, and they can make money that way. She sold that whole set for $450, $500. So anyway, that was a big help to them. That's little Yasna. She's also from Iran. Her parents are Christians, and she made that painting for me. She's 10 years old. She's very talented. I've noticed the Iranians and Afghani People are very talented people, especially in the Department of Arts. So she was really proud. She could hardly wait to hand that to me. Okay, that's Farzana over to the far right. In the back to the far right, translating for some of the Iranian ladies and Afghani ladies, and some are already Christians, were Christians. For Pam Sullivan from Abilene, there she and her husband were former missionaries to East Germany. Then that's after the seminar, just part of the young guys being fed. Lots of young guys. And the reason so many people complain, why are there so many young guys and they leave their mothers and so on behind? It's because their mothers don't want, they're too old to go through all that. The hassle of walking days and days and days. And they want their children to be safe. One of them, I will show you later, he was being trained as a suicide bomber when he was 16. When his mother found out, she asked his older brother to please flee with him because she didn't, and he didn't want to do that either. He's the one that drew this, where did I do with it? Oh yeah, he's the one that drew the portrait of Farshad. He's a great portrait maker now. He used to not have that. He had the hidden talent, but he's being mentored by famous Iranian artists now. And by the way, he gets paid for these, whatever people can pay. And when they can't afford it, I give him 10 euros, which is about 12 bucks. It's not much, but he's 18 and he's happy to get that. But when I wanted to pay him for this, he said, no, I want you to take it to the USA, show it to the people, thank them for what they're doing for us over here. And it's a gift for everybody you meet. So, and his name is Najib. He was the one that was being trained to become a suicide bomber. And so their father is no longer alive. The mother said, please flee and try to have a better future than what you have here with the Taliban. This is just, those are five of the guys that were baptized at one seminar that I showed you, five young men. Larry Sullivan had the honor of helping baptize them. Then this is out at the refugee camp in a river. That's Mariam being baptized by Farshad in the back and Larry Sullivan in the front. And I'll tell you her story in a minute. You will see her again. This is Larry Sullivan with Farshad translating for him, sermon. That's five baptisms out, just one of many baptisms out at the lake in Salzburg. That's Majid helping baptize them to the right. That's me with Mariam, the new convert from Iran, from Tehran. Her name is Mariam. She studied to become a translator for the English language, English into Farsi and back. And the reason why she fled is that she already heard about Jesus in Iran, wanted to become a Christian. Somebody told on her. She was imprisoned, they threatened her with her life to not ever do that again, to even think about becoming a Christian. But she knew she needed to become a Christian. She said she wanted to feel Jesus in her heart, and she fled. And she was among one of those Bible studies like you saw, outdoor Bible studies. And she's a very diligent, is that the right word? She's a very devoted Christian now. Mariam. This is our main preacher for the African brethren, Sunday mornings, Freeborn. But something sad happened in his case too. We have a government that is not so keen towards having so many refugees in Austria. And so the two political parties that are in power now are the extreme right, the neo-Nazi party, and the Catholic Party, and they're in cahoots with each other. And so they're trying to get rid of as many refugees as possible. So Freeborn had to leave the week I left. It was heartbreaking. He had to go to Italy because he was fingerprinted there. And he's married in Italy and has a little stepdaughter, but he came to Austria to work because there's no work there in Italy. Even Italians are coming to Austria to work because they don't have enough jobs even for the native people. So, but he was a great asset to the English-speaking congregation. And when they transferred him back to Italy, I asked him, do you have a visa for Italy? He said, it's very complicated, and it's not complete. And he got in contact with me yesterday. I asked him how it was coming along. He said he doesn't know if it's going to work out. So he may be shipped back to Nigeria, which would be a disaster, because I'm sure you've heard that things are not going well at all in Nigeria. Even preachers and their families are being burnt alive, and churches are being burnt down. And many, many awful things are happening there. So please pray for him, because, yeah, younger ones are stepping up, like Sam, and then last Sunday, Patrick, for the first time. But they don't by far have the experience Freeborn has, and the respect of everybody, because he's one of the oldest, closer to my age. Okay, now this is another region of Austria. This is Flavie. She's from the Congo. She and her husband and little girl were moved to Carinthia, which is another far corner of Austria. So we go there at least once a month to hold Bible studies there. But they were converted back in January, together with four from a Russian family who were Muslims, and they've been transferred to Norway. So they were all baptized together there, and we go there and have Bible studies once a month. This is our translator, our sister Osla. She's from Cameroon. We met her also at the right close to Vienna at the refugee camp. All these people we met the refugee camp at our worship services that we hold there in Bible studies that we have in kind of a business school that we rent on Sunday. She's a wonderful person. She tries to call me every day. We have WhatsApp where the refugees can stay in touch with me for free if I'm somewhere where there's Wi-Fi. Now, this is Flavie's husband, Serge, and their little girl, Ohev, and they're Christians now. Thanks to Osla translating as well, because they speak French, which we don't speak. This is another family that lives there. It's a mother from Somalia, and she just had a little baby boy, Anas, and he's a real sweetie. He's trying to talk to me during Bible study. It was hard for me to keep quiet. I wanted to. Okay, now this is Farshat again, and his wife Mariam with their little boy Rodney, and in the middle is Ashkan, and also a new convert thanks to Farshat's endeavors, and my co-worker Gerhard, and me, of course. And this picture will show up later because I need to tell you his story. Oh, but thanks to Slobo up front, he's a brother from Serbia. He's my chauffeur when I have a lot of things to transport, because otherwise I use public transportation, and we bring lots of food and other necessities to the church building. He picks me up and gets me back home with all the whatever, dirty laundry and so on. But anyway, he traveled out to the refugee camp with me in January to pass out Bibles and hygienic articles and tea, hot tea, and so on and so forth. And he had the courage. He didn't have the spirit of timidity, because I was busy with other refugees talking to them. He spoke to Farshat and his family and invited them. And if it hadn't been for Slobo having the spirit, God's spirit of power and love, we wouldn't have had Farshat's help, because as soon as he invited him, he started coming and translating for us and bringing people right away, because he was already a Christian. Okay, I best tell you now about Farshat. Let me go back. What happened? Okay, now, as I told you, at least half of our converts, we've had 50 Muslims converted to Christ alone this year. Half of them on account of Farshat not having the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. Okay, 2 days before I left to the States, beginning of July, he called me and he said, Reggie, we're being transferred. And I thought first it would be a good thing. He said to Salzburg, I said, yay, that's close to the church, our other Farsi church. But we already have two translators there. So actually, yeah, he's our only other translator that we need around Vienna and the refugee camp. But I was trying to encourage him and said, oh, but you can worship with the Farsi church in Salzburg. And he thought, first he was excited because his mother-in-law lives in that area. But then they found out that they're out in the boonies. I'll show you pictures. Well, maybe I better skip over to those pictures real quick and then go back. There. This is how they live now. They live in construction containers stacked next to each other. And the room they had at the refugee camp was four times as big as what they're living in now. They lived in very cramped quarters, no playground for Rodmi and the other kids there. This is Rodmi staring out. Looks like Huntsville. I just passed there last weekend. Reminds me a lot of Huntsville, except there's no towers. There he is, cooped up, nowhere to go. They have a 12-hour curfew. They can't even come to Vienna to help translate anymore. They have to report at 9 in the morning and report again at 9 at night. It's very strict because of the new government that's trying to get rid of the refugees. Even though they're, even the well-educated ones, that could be an asset to the Austrian government. Okay, back. I've got to go back. So, Majid jumped in for him from Afghanistan, a brother from Afghanistan that was converted last year. He did a good job, I must say. That was the last Sunday I was there. And everybody was very attentive, and the following Sunday there was a baptism from there, a new Mohammed. We have lots of Mohammeds. Because of another new brother who was baptized that very day I was there, Sashat, he brought a friend named Mohammed, and the Sunday after I left, he was brought into the Lord's kingdom. And then this is Najib, the one I told you about that was supposed to be trained as a suicide bomber with the picture I just showed you. He's really come a long way with making portraits. And he told me to tell y'all hello. He's 18. That's Sam filling in for Freeborn. I'm just showing we do have people to jump in, but we're missing the ones. This is Ibrahim, also an Iranian convert, reading the scriptures the last Sunday I was there. Then, here, the kids are all gone. I thought this would impress the kids. but some of y'all, it might still impress you. The guy in the black shorts from the right, his name is Mohammed Reza Dolashian. He attends the Bible studies and worship in Salzburg. He hasn't turned his life over to Christ completely yet, but he's convinced that he's on the right track with studying with us and going to worship there. And he was one of the champions in Iran. But they wanted to use him for evil purposes, to destroy people, because he's a champion in martial arts. But he refused to do that. He didn't think it was right, so he fled, just like Najib, who was being taught to become a suicide bomber. He didn't want people to be harmed and felt it was very wrong, so he fled. But I have a feeling that he will be our brother in Christ really soon, and quite impressive for the kids and teenagers. So this is a group that some of our new converts were moved to Nice, France, as I mentioned earlier. There's my coworker. He tries to visit them once a month to try to get a house church started there. And, it's looking good. It's looking really good. In August, we will find out more because there's about 150 scattered refugees who have already become Christians who would like to have one big church there. So please pray that that works out. If they can find a common ground, then it will be possible. My coworker just wants to make sure that no false teachings concur or happen, and that they're all on one, you know, level, agree about the gospel, and just take God's word for as their foundation. Okay, now back to him. I showed you how they have to live now. Anyway, the day before I flew out, Farshad called me and told me he spoke to a lawyer, and the lawyer had a suggestion or a solution. But that's where I need everybody's help, because it's not going to be an easy one. It's workable, but it's not going to be easy. He said, we need to register Farshad at the church in Vienna and take over his health insurance for the whole family, which is about $450-$500 a month, and employ him as a preacher or translator. And that would cost about $2,500 a month. But that would only be for temporary, because he's very educated. And once he gets his visa to stay, once he's granted asylum, and he can start looking around for another job and still work part-time as preacher and teacher and translator, which he was doing when he lived out at the refugee camp. He would work from 8 to 1 for the government out at the refugee camp, which they don't have any need for that where he is now, and he was always busy there for the Lord and for translating. They paid him peanuts, but it was still some income, something he could look forward to and keep busy with. So, and his wife is a very good artist. She wanted to start art classes for mothers with children in the fall if they would have stayed on in Vienna. So I believe within a year they would be on their own financially. It's just to get them back, because if we leave them out there where they are now in that container, they could easily transfer them to France, for instance, where the others are. But we already have people there that can translate. We need him in Austria, because he was our most vital tool to reach out to the Muslims, and people had respect for him. So anyway, that's our plight right now, and we have to act fast, because they could transfer him any moment. With this government, you don't know, and there's no coming back once they transfer him. So please keep them in your prayers. Okay, we already had those. Okay, and here's a few more. Please keep Ali and his wife Parisa in your prayers. He's also has become a fisher of men. He got transferred to Salzburg, but his wife, when they came to the refugee camp in Vienna, they sent her on to the UK. So they haven't seen each other for almost a year now. And she's tried to commit suicide several times, not knowing if she would ever see her husband again. She's bipolar, to top it all off. They're both artists, and he asked for our prayers for them to be reunited one day. And the reason why she got transferred to UK is that she was fingerprinted in the UK before she even met him, but went back to Iran because she got homesick, which was a big mistake, but otherwise she would not have met her husband, and he loves her dearly and would do anything to help her. So please keep them in your prayers. I guess that was it. Yes, I want to encourage you to please take 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 to heart, about not having a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-control, which I've seen amongst the Iranian brothers. I've seen it here too, but especially among them, it's overwhelming, because they're still babes in Christ and they're taking it serious and they're really letting God's Spirit move them. And so I would want to admonish everyone here to take that to heart. Thank you. And thank you so much for letting me be here. And thank you for all you have done for us. We wouldn't be able to make it without y'all. As I said, we're teamwork. So, and one more thing I forgot to mention, because the refugees are scattered all over Austria, and we're trying to get them to the different churches, one in Salzburg, one in Vienna, one out at the refugee camp, and then traveling to France. We are in need of transportation funds, because to get them to the different, and for the seminar once a month, that's very costly to get them to Vienna once a month, and also not so much to Salzburg, but surrounding areas around Vienna, to get them to worship, because they need to be taught. They don't need to be out on their own without anybody, without fellowship. Yeah, they need to grow because they will be transferred anytime to no telling where. And then they will be able to be independent and start churches on their own. So right now, there's a big need for funds for transportation. And just to give one example, the little girl that gave me the picture, her parents, they come from up on a mountain, Semmering, every week with two children, and they bring two friends, a couple who are very close to becoming Christians, Sinan and, I forgot her name, sorry. Sinan is the husband, Simone is the wife, and just to get them there on Sunday to come down and go back is $280 every Sunday. But we have to, that's something we have to try to do. Otherwise, when they're moved, they won't be able to function on their own because they're still babes, but they need to be taught. And I told them, I hope to see you when I return to Vienna next week. They said, well, they may have already transferred us to France. It seems like the Iranians are being transferred to France. So anyway, that's why we need help. Right now, why the door is open, because with the government clamping down as they are, they might get rid of them pretty fast, which I hope they don't. But anyway, but thank you. Thank you.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling.